Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pelcia, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to India Glycols Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by Sunidhi Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participants will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Pelcia. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining on India Glycols Limited Q2 FY24 results conference call. We are joined on this call with India Glycols management, represented by Mr. Roopak Saraswat, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Anand Singhal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rajesh Marwah, Head Sales and Marketing, Marketing Bio-based Specialty Chemical Division, Mr. S.K. Shukla, Head Liquor Business, and Mr. Ankur Jain, Head Legal and Company Secretary. I would like to invite Mr. Roopak Saraswat to initiate this proceeding with his opening remark, post which we'll have a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
A very good afternoon, and thank you for joining us to give us a brief on the performance for the quarter, and also how we've done so far in the year. So I will briefly take you through what the performance numbers have been, what the general story behind the numbers is, and then we can take questions. So if you look at a quarter, the performance for the quarter, look at the comparison of Q2 2024 versus Q2 2023, you would see that we've had a gross turnover increase of about 4.5%, with a gross turnover of 1,871 crores. You know that we have a business which has a very high excise duty of about 660%. Therefore, the net turnover is actually up 775 crores, up 15.7%. We've seen a very healthy, in fact, you would see a very good EBITDA growth for the quarter, which is at 105 crores, up 43.4%. And it is also accompanied by improving the quality of the business, where the EBITDA margin is actually 13.5%, up 257 basis points. So, you know, what I would like to generally say is that this set of results is quite satisfying to us as a management team. But we were also expecting these results based on the kind of actions that we've taken over the last couple of years, and they are not different from what we have communicated to you in terms of what we have been doing. And therefore, I can say that the performance has been resilient. It has been on the basis of a foundation that we have kind of created in a, you know, in a situation where probably in the last couple of years or two and a half years, IGL faced one of the toughest times in some ways, with our feedstock prices and energy prices really going through the roof. And we had spoken about before the actions that we would take on feedstocks and costs and so on. So in that sense, it is a result of that foundation work, which has been done systematically, delivering profitable growth. And we are quite hopeful that these set of actions, of course, business has a level of uncertainty, as you saw in COVID times, and all sorts of things can happen. But there is reason for us to feel optimistic and believe that this performance and this trend will continue. And we've taken, and there is some satisfaction saying that we've taken the right action to deliver a sustainable, profitable growth in the time to come. And I will briefly touch upon what we've done to kind of deliver that growth. If you see, you know, we had, let me before that give you a snapshot of what happened in the first half, and then I can talk about the common points together. So if you look at H1, The story is by and large similar to what we are talking in terms of Q2. So our net turnover is flat. And I say that if it's flat, this is also flat because we've discontinued some low margin or non-profitable business. Some of it is trading business, but you would also know we have discussed before that because we were running a continuous plan and because we faced a lot of headwind in MED, and the continuous plant has to be run at a particular throughput rate, some amount of MEG had to be sold in the market, competing with food-based MEG, not necessarily making us money. So we've made operational changes to be able to produce much less MEG and not having to sell all of that, which means that our net turnover is kind of flat. But if you look at our EBITDA for the first half at 212 crore, it is up 48.5%. We are happy about it, and I'm sure our shareholders will also be satisfied. And our EBITDA margin, this is also important. You see, just 2 years ago, I was trying to explain an EBITDA margin, I know exactly, of 9.6%. And we have moved in about 2 years from 9.6% to a 14.3% EBITDA margin, which looks quite healthy. And now coming to some of the general actions which tell the story behind this trend. So if you remember, we have said we are going to do a few things. One is that, the thing that had affected us really badly was that we were dependent on imported ethanol as a raw material feedstock for ourselves, particularly the chemicals business. And roughly, to give you a flavor, don't hold me to a precise number, the landed price of ethanol went up from something like 35 rupees a liter to well above 60, 64 rupees a liter. And ethanol prices have continued to stay high, though not to such high levels of 64 levels. So one of the key actions for us was to mitigate that risk. There were changes happening in the Indian marketplace or in the Indian economy where the government was encouraging production of grain-based biofuels. So we were very, very prompt in taking that calculated view and putting up a significant grain-based ethanol capacity, which we have done. And which is yielding results, so which has reduced the cost of ethanol for our portable spirits business. It reduced, relatively speaking, the cost of ethanol also for the chemicals business. In future, however, the cycle may be turning, which may be beneficial for us, and I will talk about it. And so that is a big de-risking of the business. And now I used to talk about a 3x3 matrix where we have 3 options to get our ethanol, molasses, grain-based or import. And we have three uses for our ethanol, portable spirits, biofuels, and as an intermediate for chemicals. So it has also created a new segment of biofuels for us, which is also we continue to drive top-line growth for us in the years to come. So that is one action around ethanol manufacture, ethanol sourcing, and optimizing it with respect to the front-end usages of ethanol. The other significant action for us was to look at our costs, which meant we have done a significant amount of work on energy, looking at our operational models, which has also helped us contain our costs. And the third bit, which is about growth, so there are two significant factors on growth. I think one is putting up grain-based or damaged grain-based ethanol capacities have meant that we can now sell bio-based ethanol for petrol blending, which we are doing. And the second thing which we are making relatively steady progress, but it is expected to take time, is to start manufacturing new value-added chemicals, which is something that we have started as well. Though it is a relatively smaller business right now, we've just commissioned part one of the plant. Part two is expected to be commissioned by the end of this year. But I am quite satisfied with the project pipeline that we have with the number of reputed customers. And over the years, we expect that will continue to drive, to give us some top-line growth, but also improve the quality and stability of our business. So biofuels and new specialties largely in terms of top-line growth and some cost actions. So this I think, by and large, explains the numbers that you see on your chart. And we've had a good performance in terms of portable spirit sales, driven mainly by increasing country liquor sales. We continue to be market leaders in Uttarakhand as well as UP, where sales are actually up 80% in quarter two. As far as ethanol is concerned, we still continue to have cost pressures because ethanol cost within India is high. However, what has also happened is that imported ethanol prices have significantly softened, though they have not gone back to the levels which were pre-COVID, close to 35, but they have been consistently hovering around 50 rupees, which means a very interesting thing for us. Now, we put up capacities which were meant to service ethanol requirements, but also give some product for biofuel. We are seeing that if this trend continues, and we see that continuing, we could go back to importing ethanol for our chemical use, and all the capacity that is released in grain-based ethanol, because it fetches a better realization, would go on to adding the top line in biofuel, which I think is, if it continues, is going to be even more positive than what it has been right now. That is how we see it. I've already spoken about the new value-added product and, a brief comment on the joint venture. Joint venture overall has been functioning quite well. I think the integration has been very good. The challenge of cost pressures like our chemical business has continued on the joint venture. And by and large, the joint venture has been focusing on formulated products, indigenizing products in India, and also looking at export from India for bio-based products, fetching us some premium. So there is some pressure there, but the joint venture is functioning well, and we believe that as we do things about improving ethanol costs, including going back to the softened ethanol prices of internationally imported ethanol, that should help the joint venture. Now, coming to... So by and large covered. In terms of headlines for our business unit, if you talk about bio-based specialties and common chemicals, I think we are moving towards calling it chemicals and biofuel, as biofuel becomes a significant part of what we do in this space. So this will continue to drive top line. We have been, as I said, we've been somewhat selective in doing business, in the sense that we've done away with business which was not profitable, which we had to do for various reasons. And things like reduction in freight, reduction in coal costs have also helped improve the margin. And an important sector for us is bio-based MEG. Bio-based MEG has been, kind of flat or has been under pressure in terms of volumes. But the development that we go seeing into the future is that the market for bio-based MEG will continue. We had bio-based MEG goes into manufacture of polyester or PET. There was a feeling that recycled PET will replace a lot of bio-based MEG. We see that recycled PET has its own challenges, including the number of recycles that you can do. So we will continue to see some traction for bio-based MEG in its own way. World is also working on 100% bio-based PET, which includes bio-MEG and bio-based PTA. We have engaged with those people who are working on those projects, and as those materialize in the next maybe couple of years, that will be another interesting growth area. I have already spoken about what has happened in the portable space. In NHF biopharma space, this is a relatively smaller segment for us. The headline is that whilst, we've been under some pressure for sales, largely because there's a lot of competition in nicotine and there's a lot of cost pressure there, which has also eroded our margins. However, we continue to maintain our position in thiocolchico side. We have our sourcing of raw material well covered over there. And there is a push for greater quantities and demand in the market. And to some extent, it will continue to mitigate some of the market pressure on prices and costs that we have in this segment. So that's a very, very quick summary of what are the headline numbers. And, what has been the story behind these numbers. And let me now request my colleague, Mr. Anand, to take you through the financials.
Thank you, sir. Now, for Q2 24, the net revenue from operations is 775 crores vis-a-vis the last year Q2 of 23,670, showing an increase of 15.7%. The EBITDA amount for the current quarter is 106 crores consolidated basis vis-a-vis 74 crores in the last year second quarter. So the improvement of 43.4%. The PBT is in the current quarter is 50 crores vis-a-vis the 31 in the last year quarter, which shows a 59.5% growth. And PAT is 38 vis-a-vis 24, which shows an improvement of 61%. EPS for the current quarter is 12.3 rupees vis-a-vis 7.6 rupees in the last year's same quarter, showing an improvement of 61%. So as CEO sir said, that there is improvement in all the areas. As well as on consolidated basis, half yearly results is concerned. So then in H1 24, the revenue from operations of net of excise is 1,464 crores vis-a-vis 1,478 crores, showing decrease of say about 1%. EBITDA is 212% vis-a-vis 143 crores, showing an improvement of 48%. PBT is 114 crores vis-a-vis 66 crores in H1 23 last year, showing an improvement of 72%. And PAT is 89 crores vis-a-vis 51 crores in H1 23, showing an improvement of 74%. EPS in the first half of the current year is 28 rupees 80 paisa vis-a-vis the last year H1 rupees 50 paisa, showing an improvement of 74%. So now in the half year, current half year, the EPS is 28.8%. So this is what is the consolidated basis. Standalone, I am not giving the numbers because I want to give more time for the question answer session. That's all from my side.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Bala Subramanian from Aryan Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my questions. Congratulations for good setup numbers. Sir, after two quarters, we have seen decent growth and bio-based on the chemical side. And like, I just want to understand which are the sub-segments are driving the growth, and if you could throw some light on the overall demand environment on each sub-segment. This is my first question.
Okay. What is your second question? You have another question, is it?
So second question is like we have the plan for capex of 160 crore for crane-based facilities from 300 KLPT to 500 KLPT. So what is the status of that? These are my second questions. And the third questions, we have seen substantial 90 crore to 100 crore increase on that balance sheet, inventories, receivables and payable side. So if you could share more light on that working capital side also. Thank you, sir.
To take up your question number two regarding the expansion in the grain project. So as of now, from 300 to 500, we have already completed 300 KLPT grain distillery in Kashipur, and the 400 KLPD will be finalized till 31st December. And 500 KLPD, as per our projections, will be completed by 31st March 2024. So this is what is our internal projections. And to be very frank, till date, whatever expansions in the grain distillery we have done is as per the target. And third question regarding the increase in the stock and the inventory, means receivable, that is a routine kind of thing. I cannot comment on that right now, but that is as per the balance sheet as of 30th September 2023. So not much about the increase in the working capital.
So let me take your first question. In terms of chemicals, you wanted to know what are the segments which have given growth within chemicals, right? So
yes,
we have chemicals into three broad categories. They are not roughly equal. We may change the categorization in future. One is performance chemicals, which include the specialties, which include the glycols, glycolithers, and also biofuels. So here we have seen a top line growth of 16%. Significant part of that top line growth has come from supply into biofuels, which has roughly contributed about 100 crores of the increase. And we also have another segment called biopolymers, where we have seen some growth in H1, which is about 2%, but we have seen much better growth in terms of its contribution. We also have a segment called industrial gases, which is much smaller. There we have seen something like a 35% increase. And this increase is mainly driven because of increased demand for argon gas and its prices. So to tell you what has happened here is that my understanding is that with India imposing anti-dumping duty on some stainless steel, India is manufacturing more stainless steel, so more demand for argon. And also I think some factories and suppliers were cut down, that led to some a better pricing for us as well. So this is how the growth has been under the within three sub-segments within what is broadly the chemical space.
Okay, sir, got it. Sir, my final question is like the industry is moving from molasses based to grain based. Like, what would be the cost advantage overall the industry perspective?
There is no straight answer to this. I'll tell you why. Because when you say industry is not moving from molasses to grain based, industry is doing as much molasses based as it can, plus it is adding grain based capacity. Okay? So the sugar mills have two grades of molasses. One is B heavy molasses and the second is C heavy molasses. C heavy molasses has less sugar to be converted into ethanol. So every sugar mill is trying that they should convert all B heavy and C heavy into ethanol. But the government is also now allowing ethanol being produced from sugarcane juice. Now what the government has done is based, I don't remember the exact numbers, it is not based on cost alone. Government has given different prices for each one of them for procurement into biofuels. So really speaking, based on the government prices, you have to look at how much margin you make on B heavy, C heavy or sugarcane based, juice based, ethanol. That is one. So people are not moving, people are adding grain based capacity. Why are people adding grain based capacity? Because there is a huge increase in demand for ethanol. Government has a plan to do 20% blending by 2025. We are well on track to achieve that. I think we did roughly, I don't remember the number, something like 10% last year. This year, I think the target is something like close to 12%. And based on the capacities that currently exist, there will continue to be, demand is exceeding supply. So therefore, people are putting up grain-based capacity, both damaged grain and whatever excess is available.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Sakit Kapoor, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar team, and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, firstly, Rupak sir, you mentioned about the benefit of lower ethanol prices will aid to the profitability of our JV. Am I correct?
Yes, you are right.
Okay.
Let me explain that to you, Saket.
Yes, sir.
As I mentioned, initially we were procuring imported ethanol ballpark, just to explain the situation to you, something like 35 rupees landed per liter in terms of imported ethanol. This is pre-COVID times. This shot up because of a variety of reasons, energy transition, increased blending, so on and so forth, Ukraine war, to something like 64 rupees a liter, where it really started pinching us. Okay? We invested in grain-based capacities for some time. We started to replace that, and that helped us. Now, the imported ethanol prices are hovering around something like 50. If I make grain-based ethanol or molasses-based ethanol, you know, generally the realization on an average in biofuels is something like 63 rupees a liter. Now, irrespective of the cost that I produce at, whether it is 53, 54, 50, it depends on rice prices and DDGS prices and so on. If I have capacities, it makes much more sense for me to first sell to the biofuels market where I have a realization of 64 rupees. Now, which means then I can use all my capacities or most of my capacities to serve biofuels, and if the imported ethanol prices hover around 50 rupees a liter, it makes much more sense to start importing. If I look at the trend going forward for the next 6 months, maybe the next entire year, that is my estimate, it will make sense to import ethanol for use in chemicals, which means that ethanol, which was much more expensive based because in-house produced, or, you know, that cost will come down for chemicals in IGL. And one of the chemicals in IGL is a feedstock for the joint venture, which is ethylene oxide. So we do expect it to help the joint venture.
Right, sir. Sir, earlier our pain point last time in when the commodity prices touched the roof was also for the coal prices. So I think so now with the current trend, the power and fuel cost on a Q-on-Q basis is down from 95 crore to 83 crore. So in the near vicinity, what's the outlook? And I think so we will be reaping the benefit of lower power and fuel prices going ahead also.
It's not about benefit. I think we had a huge pain because of the increase in coal costs.
Yes.
So that pain has got mitigated. And that we expect in the times that we see, you know, it's a very dynamic world in terms of what leads to coal prices, etc. We see that coal prices have stabilized, maybe marginally higher than what they were before COVID times, to somewhere close to that. And in the near future, we expect the energy prices to be stable around those numbers. And whatever benefit or whatever contribution of that cost you see in the numbers here is expected to continue in the near future.
Right, sir. Sir, if I may add just one more point in your presentation, if we see, you mentioned about that our NHL biopharma performance has been subdued for the quarter also and for the first half also. If we take the top line, and you mentioned about the, in your presentation about the nicotine prices and the pressure there. So what the next step mitigation activities we are doing? And also, sir, in your presentation, you have mentioned about that we have commenced production of nicotine at Kashipur, doubling the capacity. So if you could just give us some more understanding and also about the other product, I'm wrong with the pronunciation, thylochloride, I think so. It's correct me.
So, Saket, you know, nicotine, basically what has happened is nicotine has use in, first of all, therapy, because for de-addiction, people use nicotine, and I think it has some use as intermediates, etc. So, a number of, you know, there is a large number of players, and the marketplace has been quite competitive, which has meant that we have seen price realization fall of something like 10 to 15% in 23-24 compared to 22-23. So that is mainly because of increased competition, not because of suppressed demand. And as far as the Kashipur facility where we were converting some of our given assets were concerned, it is looking at the demand scenario. What we are also doing for nicotine is working with, and you know, because it is in the pharma space and similar space, etc., we are looking at newer markets where, you know, say the US, in Europe, etc., where realization is better. Those approval time is higher, so we are working on our standards, our quality, so that we can get those approvals. And we are also looking at, in some cases, having tie-ups for some of our products, which are right now not a very large part of what we do in, you know, NHL Biopharma, is things like curcumin, where we could supply ready-to-consume B2C kind of branded products. So we are looking at those kind of tie-ups for curcumin, astaxanthin, etc. So these are the main actions, and of course, in this scenario, we are also looking at how we can reduce our cost, improve our processes, improve our sourcing. For example, in thiocolchicoside, you know, that's the raw material plant base. India is the largest producer. So your position with respect to sourcing also determines your margin. So one of the good things, as I understand, people have thiocolchicoside supplies covered better than what we think some others have. And thiocolchicoside demand has been strong. So we expect that our top line and, you know, and bottom line in thiocolchicoside will continue to remain healthy in the near future.
So, and what has been its contribution, sir, this product which you mentioned right now for the first half in terms of the top line and bottom line? And also, sir, if you take into account this this segment performance, last year our top line was at closer to 192 crore and the bottom line was around 49 crore profitability. So taking into account the current situation, what should be the trajectory for the second half, since the profitability has moved lower Q on Q from 13 crore to 7 crore, and for the first half it is closer to 20 crore. So, especially for the segment, agar aap aage ka outlook bataye.
Rakesh, you bahut calculation karke laate ho. Acha, theek hai. You know, see, look, also keep in mind that before that, NHL Biopharma profitability and top line had grown very well also. So, business has a bit of cyclicality. So, if you look at portable spirits for first, you know, NHL Biopharma, H1, we've registered a top line of 99 crores, right? And we've registered a bottom line of 20 crores in terms of EBIT, that is what has been shared with you in H1. The expectation is, while we expect the pressures on nicotine, etc., to continue in the second half, because we are working on approvals and new markets, etc., etc., but because of our better position in thiocolchicoside in terms of sourcing, we expect that while the pressures will continue, our profitability and our top line will be better in the second half.
Okay, so is it fair to match the last year number, sir? Abhi ke saath se visibility hai usme?
We think that it will be better than first half. We are trying to, you know, kind of equal or better what we've, you know, done last year. But we expect some challenge in the whole year, though the second half could be better than first half.
Okay. So, may I ask a capex related question or join the queue?
Puri queue to tumne cover kar liya.
Sir, main wapas aa jata hun. Line pe aa jata hun, sir. Koi baat nahi. I'll join the queue again, sir. Operator, I'm joining the queue again.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Next question comes from Makraran Tilo, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Sir, I would like to ask you that this Lanzatec that was mentioned in previous presentations, when this project will be in full-fledged next year, what kind of turnover we are expecting?
So, this question has been asked to us before. There are two or three things.
Lanzatec.
See, we are working with Carbon Smart products, with Lenza, with a number of reputed customers, which includes Dow, which includes Mibel, which includes Unilever, and possibly some others where we've not, or they have not made it public. As I've spoken many times, this is a new area. It is not going to, you know, suddenly grow because, you know, there are various things like supply and cost and so on. But it is the future direction in which the chemical industry is going to move. So far, we've continued to make steady progress, but, you know, slow progress in this area. And because it is so new, it is very difficult for us to give you a number on what will happen in LenzaTech numbers next year. What we are hoping is that the carbon smart feedstock prices become lower. We know that some of the carbon smart feedstocks may become available in India. I'm sure they will become available in India, and I'm also sure that the costs and prices of those feedstocks will continue to come down. But to put a timeline number and how much will happen next year is difficult for me, and I'll have to give you that answer.
Okay. The second question was that there was some information that there is a change in molasses policy regarding GST, and it will help the distilleries. So can you elaborate or let us know how our company will be getting the benefit?
Look, I'll have to look at some of those details. So why don't you just put in this question, and let me talk to the concerned person with some details, and we'll revert to you on the specifics of the policy and specifically what it will do to us.
Because okay.
I also need to understand what exactly you meant.
Yes, correct. Sir, we have sold the Shakumbhari unit. So how we are going to get benefited due to this?
Benefited? Actually, Shakumbhari was closed and it was not working. So that was a dead asset, or you can say a non-performing asset in the books of the account. So that's why we have sold it out. We are not getting any benefit out of Shakumbhari running or not running.
See, we didn't want to focus on running a sugar mill, as simple as that.
Correct.
Sugar mill is a complex kind of business. For whatever reason, 14-15 years ago, it was acquired. Anandji, when was it acquired?
It was in 2008.
Right. So, I think the broad strategy was, for a variety of reasons in the area, etc., that we don't want to be in the business of sugar mill. So, it was best for the company to, liquidate or that asset, and that was the main reason.
So whether it will help us in reducing our interest cost?
No, Shakumbhari was not having any debt in the book. So as such, there was no interest cost in the books of Shakumbhari Sugar.
Okay.
Except the ICDs which they have taken for repayment of the debt and other things.
Okay. And the another question is that our company will be completing around 3,000 crore rupees of turnover this year, tentatively. So internally, when company feels that it will touch 5,000 crore rupees of turnover?
3,000, you are talking about net or gross?
Net.
So this year, hopefully, we will achieve, say, about 3,500 crores net turnover, as per our internal projections, and cannot give you the concrete year when we will reach to 5,000 crores.
Okay. And the last request to you, sir, that our company is now performing very well under all of your activities, actions and management. So that has to be reflected in the digital way. Our website has to be renovated, and digital presence need to be reshuffled. So, are we planning anything regarding that?
Yes. So, yes, you're right. That work is more or less completed. Very soon, you will see a new website. Very soon.
Very soon. Okay.
Yeah, very soon.
Because you are doing a wonderful work. Keep it up. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad.
Okay.
We have a follow-up question from Saket Kapoor, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Anandji, for the first half, our capital work in progress closing balance is 102 crore. So, if you could just explain what is it ascertained to which project and how much capex exactly we have done and capitalized for this quarter, as the depreciation has gone up by around 8 crore Q1Q.
The depreciation has gone up because of the capitalization in Q1 and in the last year. 102 crores capital work in progress is related to more for the grain project and the NSU project, which is under process. Apart from this, there are some maintenance capexes which is continuously going up. And current year, we will be completing the grain project from 300 to 500 crore, which will cost about 160 crore. Apart from this, we are putting up one more grain project in Gorakhpur for adding 180 KLPD distillery of grain. So that will also cost us about 80 crores to 90 crores and project will be completed. So more or less the capital work in progress in process will be say about 300 to 350 crores.
Sir, I missed the Gorakhpur point. Gorakhpur ka capex kab karenge aur ye kab tak implement hoga?
Gorakhpur capex is in process. We have just completed the financing and other things. The process for finalization of the machinery supplier is going on and hopefully this will be completed by 30th June to 30th September.
Next year it will run to the first quarter.
Yeah, in the second quarter.
Second quarter. And sir, what is our debt number currently? The long term and the short term debt?
That is already there in the balance sheet. You can see, Saket. Why you are asking me?
Okay, sir. I'll go through the number. Only any change in the cost of funds, sir?
No, as such, no. No major.
No, 9.5 was the last number. If I'm right.
It is around, the average cost of borrowing is around 9.45%.
9.45%. Correct, sir. Right, sir. So, Rupakji, just to sum it up, going ahead, taking into account the current economic situation and also the demand supply, what should we look at H2 as a number? Because the key segment of bio-based specialty, we find that on a Q-on-Q basis, there is a decline in the margin. If firstly you can explain what led to this, which chemical the margins have taken a hit, because from 401 crore it has gone up to 508, whereas the EBIT number is the same which we had for the first quarter.
You are talking about?
I am talking about the bio-based specialty and the performance chemical margin. If we look at the turnover Q-on-Q has gone up from 402 to 508, whereas the EBIT number is same. That shows the margin decline. So if you could explain the key reason for the same, sir.
See, I mentioned to you that the pressure in the chemicals business has largely been on account of, increase in ethanol cost, which happened over a period of time. Going forward, we see that importing ethanol at prices which are now much more softer, will help improve the profitability of the chemicals business. So essentially that is the broad reason. Other than that, sometimes it is also about the product mix and what's happening in competition. So for example, MEG market has been very, very suppressed for a long time. So the product that we were able to position there against that has been difficult. Similarly, glycol ethers, butyl and propyl based glycol ethers, the costs have been lower. So some of that market has been very tough for us, which is where we've had pressure on margins. But broadly, I think in terms of the market trend, my expectation is that the market trends for H2 are largely going to be similar. We are going to be helped by increase in our biofuel supply on account of one, addition of capacities compared to last year. Second, we are going to substitute what we were producing grain-based and using as an intermediate, using imported ethanol and release capacities for biofuel, which will improve the overall top line as well as bottom line for the chemicals portfolio broadly.
Right, sir. And sir, have we started importing of the alcohol or we are about to do so?
Yes, we have taken action. It will start arriving pretty soon.
Correct, sir. And sir, the number for this thiocolloids, the revenue and the contribution to the margin, do we have it separately?
I will take that as homework, Saket, for myself.
As in, you know, I don't remember exactly. We'll get back to you if you can put a question. I don't know specifics of.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you for all the detailed answers, sir, and wishing the entire team Shubh Deepavali, sir, and a prosperous new year ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, so from our side, a big thank you for us to show a lot of that interest in IGL, particularly Saket. It is good to answer your questions, Saket. It keeps us refreshing what we do. And wish you all a very happy Diwali as well. Okay.
Shall I move to next question, sir?
Oh, I thought something too quickly. And two more questions. Sorry, I thought we had kind of my mistake. Okay, go ahead.
Sure, sir. Next question comes from Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Obviously, first of all, congratulations for good set of numbers, sir. And obviously, I think a lot of questions are already answered. So still a few from my side. On the country liquor side, I think last year in FY23, we have done a record sales and we have listed our name also on the record books. So now, after that, how has been the volume growth as of now, and where we would be heading going forward? And secondly, on this IMFL segment, how has been the market share as of now? Because for last few quarters, marginally, I think we were gaining some market share. So how right now it is placed?
So Rohit, Deepak here. So let me take the country liquor first. So country liquor's volumes in UP are currently doing an average of about like 19 lakh cases a month. During the season, we had also like closely touched 20 lakhs in one of the months. The major driving factor has come in from the state of Uttarakhand, where previously we used to do around like an 80,000 cases a month, which is currently touching close to about 120,000 cases a month. So there's a good jump of about like around like close to 45 to 50% on a volume basis, right? So this is where the volumes have grown. We expect that once the policy regarding the Tetra packaging is clear in Uttarakhand, possibly we will be able to replicate our existing capabilities in the state of Uttarakhand and also pick up on that volume as well, right? So right now this particular policy is subjective. So once the Honorable High Court clears it, we'll be in a good position to comment upon the volumes in the near future. Coming to your IMFL market shares and volumes, right? So just to give you an overview from a state perspective, in UP, previously we have a good coverage of about like close to 80% on the wholesale front footprint. Coming to the retail footprint, which is about like close to 7,500 shops, we are currently able to cater to around 5,000 shops on a brand presence, right? Coming to the segment-wise market shares, we are doing a good numbers of around, we are the third largest player in the vodka space, with a share of around like close to 20 to 25%. Coming to the whiskey side of the things, in the Tetra packaging in UP, we are currently around like the fourth largest player in the market. The volumes continue to expand. But during the winter season, we are also expecting a certain kind of a delta volume increase when it comes to the rum, sales of rum in the coming quarter, coming two quarters. The Delhi has also, market has also shown a kind of like a good uptick for us. We have been doing close to around like a 30 to 35,000 cases a month. In the segment that we operate in Delhi, we are the second largest player in that particular segment, in the whiskey segment. In vodka, we again continue to be the third largest player in Delhi overall.
the same kind of a, I mean, like market shares you can replicate for the Uttarakhand market as well. But in the market expansion, we are looking to expand our footprint in the state of Rajasthan. And there has been a kind of like a state expansion in the paramilitary division as well. So there, that's what the entire growth story of IMFL is.
Thank you, sir. On this country liquor side, I think we got a price increase effective from first quarter or April this 2023. So, looking at the kind of growth in this quarter or maybe in first half, would it be possible anything to give a brief overview that what would be the volume growth and how would be the pricing benefit we have in getting?
So last year, if you see for the similar amount of time, the average volume that we used to do in UP was anywhere between 16.5 lakhs to 17 lakhs per month. That has actually increased by 1 to 1.5 lakhs if you see it for this particular year. That is on the volume front. And the price rise has been different for different kind of country liquors that we may make, but in an on an average, if you can think of, it's anywhere between like 15 to 25 rupees per case across the spectrum that we operate in, right? So that's where the entire growth story comes in for
country liquors.
That's already inbuilt.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Secondly, on the JV side, I mean, in this quarter, some subdued number was there from the JV side. So, what is basically how we should see JV performing in the second half, considering the kind of environment right now is there in the market? Any thoughts on that?
Yes, some bit of it is repetition on what I said. Pressures on the JV have largely been account of increased input costs, which has been account of ethanol costs. We expect that based on some of the actions that I just said, that margin will improve, which will also help JV improve its margin. The JV has a plan in place. I think the plan is to look at increasing manufacturing in India, indigenization, increasing competitive products, looking at exports. We also know that exports, however, has been slightly more challenging than what we had expected initially, and it is largely because some of those markets like Europe, etc., as you know from the performance of various global specialty chemicals companies, in the current environment have been facing some headwinds. So, given that situation, the market situation is, it is what it is, particularly in the export. But the action that we are taking in terms of trying to reduce the ethanol cost for the JV should help improve their margins in the second half for sure.
Okay. And what is the status on the payment we was about to receive from client on this JV deal?
Payment to whom?
We were supposed to receive from Clarion for the final.
That is that payment is as per the due date. What I have understood from the question.
Okay. That's it for my side, sir. Thank you and happy Diwali and happy New Year, sir.
Thank you. Same to you, Rohit.
Thank you. Next question comes from Marshall L, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, my first question is regarding nuance in the PPT. So I think the quality of PPT can be improved. Like somewhere they are mentioning NSU. We don't understand what is NSU. So if you can just put an abbreviation like the other competitors in the at the end of the PPT so that we can understand. So can we define? It's mentioned that NSU phase two is going to is going to start from the end of 2023. So what does it mean this NSU? And then during this call you mentioned that is. We are increasing capacity to 400,000 liters. Is it the same thing or what?
See, your first question is regarding the abbreviation. you know, sorry, we had assumed that since it has been spoken about several times before, but we will put the abbreviation. It stands for the new specialties unit. Okay. And your second question, can you please repeat?
Yeah, second question was that, like, during this con call, you mentioned that for certain product, you are increasing the capacity to 400,000 by end of this year, and then to 500,000 by March. So what is it? Do you mean to say, are we going to increase the capacity of ethanol or something else?
This is relating to grain, and the capacity will become 400 KLPD by December and 500 KLPD by March.
So what is the current capacity?
Current is 300 KLPD.
So for both Gorakhpur and Kashipur?
No, this is only for Kashipur.
So, no, but like last time I remember, like last year we started these two construction and then we said that both are going to be commissioned during the last year. So do you mean to say only one we have commissioned, second we didn't commission yet?
Last year we did Kashipur for 180 KLPD and okay. Gorakhpur for 110 KLPD, which is in operation.
Yeah.
The 180 KLPD distillery has increased to 300 KL till now, and we are further increasing to 400 and 500 KLPD.
Okay, and so
we are adding one more distillery for 180 KLPD. So Gorakhpur capacity will become 290 KLPD. I think it's clear.
Okay. Okay. And then this, you also mentioned that this imported price, the landed price is 500,000 currently. For this ethanol. So just just to understand it, the government is paying about 56 to 63 depending upon B heavy or C heavy or the cane juice. So is it whether the government, the OMC are buying directly what is produced from India, or like somebody can just import and supply to them also, or like why they are not importing directly from the overseas market?
Yes, it is not allowed. You cannot import, grain based ethanol from US and put it for blending, because the rationale for blending is several fold. The rationale for blending is to reduce Indian forex outflow, which will not happen if you import and blend it. The second rationale is to increase farm sector incomes, which will not happen if you pay farmers of US. And the third rationale is also to increase farm sector incomes and do something with the damaged grain which is lying in the warehouse. So the government does not allow you to import ethanol and blend it for bio-based for biofuels. You can only use it as an intermediate for chemicals.
Yes, sir. So, whatever we are producing ethanol, how much we are selling approximately to the OMCs?
I'll have to look at the number. If you can give a question, I'll tell you how much are we selling. Because just 1 second.
What's the email address, sir? To which one?
So I think we are selling something like close to 70 lakh liters per month right now, which will continue to increase to something like 140 to 150 during April, May, June kind of period as we add the capacities that Mr. Anand has said we'll be adding.
And what is the price, sir? What is the price for the grain bus? Like, is it a premium to the cane juice or B heavy molasses? Like, what kind of price they are selling?
There are different prices. We are not doing cane juice. We are only doing largely grain. We are not selling cane juice or B heavy, C heavy too much to buy. We are doing grain based.
No, sir, I understand that. I'm only asking that what is the price approximately for grain? Is it more than the cane juice or B heavy, or is it less than the C heavy? I'm asking you.
I think our average realization is around 63 to 64.
64, okay. Just like this, the other thing you mentioned, that it is Bacardi, we are going to bottle. So what kind of additional revenue and EBITDA margin we can project for this one, and like when it's going to start?
We didn't talk about Bacardi. Can you repeat your question?
No, I just in the PPT it mentioned about Bacardi. That tie up with the Bacardi for bottling of the products at the Kashipur bottling unit.
So what's your question? Yes, there is a tie
up. My question is that when is going to start this bottling for them and providing to their to their customer, and what kind of revenue and margin we can expect from this one in the quarter.
Bacardi is a running business for IGLP. We have not projected any additional business on Bacardi. That's a regular business, going on business. The Bacardi bottling plant is at Kashipur facility where we are supplying ENA for them.
Already going on, eh?
Yeah. For quite a few
weeks. Okay. So in the slide number 8, like it is sentence mentioned, I'm reading sentence, maybe I'm not able to understand or there is some mistake here. It says Sakambari Sugar and so on, so subsidiary of IGL received the last and final tranche of 11.76 crore on 8 September 2023 for the sale of IGL entire stake in SSAIL in addition to advance amount of 78.7 crore. My question is that if IGL is selling its stake in Sakambari, money should come to IGL. Why the money is going to Sakambari?
IGL is holding shares of Sakambari Sugar.
Yeah.
And Sakambari Sugar has been sold out to some XYZ party. So by this, the IGL has transferred its holding to the new buyer. That's what we want to say. The money here.
No, sir. Like, sorry. IGL is holding stake in Sakambari, right? So IGL is a shareholder of Sakambari. And IGL has sold its stake to third party. So if IGL is selling its stake in Sakambari to third party, then the money from third party must come to IGL, not to the Sakambari.
See, the way as a part of deal, if you have read our disclosure to the market, we have already clarified that the share value has been transferred at a fair value. The balance amount has been stuffed into or put it into Sakambari by the buyer to discharge the ICDs or liabilities of Sakambari. So that is why the money, the most of the money has been come into Sakambari, not to IGL. If you have seen the disclosure of IGL in the market for the last 1 year.
No, no, I remember like once we said, okay, for something about 3 crore rupees, something we sold our stake.
No. We have never stated 3 crores. The total value, whatever Sakambari has received is for 90 crore, around 90 crore something. And IGL has received about 30 lakh or 35 lakh something. This is categorically mentioned in the disclosure made to exchanges. Can you refer the disclosure which you are referring to?
Here I am just reading this slide 8.
So slide 8, we are saying Sakambari has received 11 crore 76. Crores, that's right. For sale, when we say for sale, means it is a part of the transaction. You want to elaborate more on the deal part, because this deal has already been consummated during the quarter and adequate disclosures are in the market. So perhaps it was our intent to convey to the market as a part of the slide. The adequate disclosures are already placed in the market. Maybe if you wanted to add one or more two sentence for the clarification, that we can always add.
So it will be easier, sir.
Good. But adequate disclosures are there in the market as such.
Yes, sir, my last question is regarding premiumization of our alcoholic products of our IMFL. So as we can say that recently one of our Indian companies, whiskey has been rated our top 10 in particular kind of competition or whatever you can say. So what's the plan to premiumize our whiskey, vodka, or whatever we are doing, so that that can directly increase our profitability?
To answer your question, the premiumization efforts that we are currently taking in is basically to introduce certain brands which are currently higher above the kind of price point that we operate in. We don't want to take the names of the competition right now, but it's a kind of like a regular whiskey segment that we are trying to target in. There we have a kind of like a scope for better realizations currently. And on the vodka front, of course, the market is pretty much open because there are like a limited set of number of players who are there.
Yes.
So we want to like introduce a higher grade of a vodka brand. So basically like our existing one becomes a carrier for that particular premium one. We are working in right now. And also on the gin front, we will be seeing certain kind of a premium gin coming in.
Very good. So you mentioned during call that like now they are going
to
open.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Just a moment. Dear participants, kindly stay connected while we connect the management team back on the call. I welcome back the chairperson. Please go ahead.
Yeah. You mentioned that we are going to open this Rajasthan market for our product, for alcoholic product. So, sir, are we also planning to open some other market like Haryana, Punjab or MP?
Yes, we are in talks with a couple of people out there. We are currently working upon the distribution channel network.
Because that will increase our the sale also. One clarification. On the, if we compare our standalone PBT and consolidated PBT, there is a hardly increase of 2 crore rupees. Whereas we have one of the major entity in consolidated is the Clarion JV. So does it mean that we are making only 2 crore rupees in a quarter from Clarion as well as 4 or 5 other subsidiaries, whatever we have? So how is this Clarion JV faring now? Is it facing some headwinds or what?
Regarding the Clarion, the 2 crore is the profitability, and when we are consolidating, so the profitability is the figure which we are consolidating. I think our CEO has already explained that there are some cost pressure because of the higher alcohol cost, so that they are getting the EO on the higher cost. So that is the pressure which Clarion is facing, and that's why the current quarter is not good as they or we expect. Maybe in the next quarter onwards, they start getting benefit of the lower alcohol cost.
Okay. And my last humble submission that during call, we also mentioned that sir has just now explained that we are going to increase the ethanol to 400,000, 400 KLPD and then 500 from this one. None of these things have been mentioned in the PPT. So from going forward next time, suppose regarding all capacity, you can give more detail in the PPT so that, it will be more clearer to the investor and the analyst, and it will be more informative, sir.
Okay, will do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to management for closing comments.
Accidentally I had made kind of closing comments earlier because somebody was summarizing. I think it was Saket. Nevertheless, thank you all for your interest, and I'm sure you've looked at a lot of details because you're interested in IGL, and we have hopefully tried to respond to you and answer your queries. So thank you very much for this meeting and giving us time. Thank you for myself and my colleagues over here. And wish you all a very happy Diwali. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Door Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.